Fred Eaglesmith is heading back onto the road with his traveling show this spring to celebrate the launch of his latest album, Tambourine. We caught up with Fred earlier this week. It's great to be able to talk to you today, Fred.
Thanks so much, Jan. I appreciate it.
Well, it's always exciting when Fred Eaglesmith is on tour because, you know, one of the things I love is that you give us lots of opportunities to see you, and we'll certainly get into the tour in a few moments. But what I'd like to do at the start is to talk about Tambourine, which I think is your 20th album. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
So this album, I've listened to it, I think, three or four times, and the thing that strikes me straight from the off is that there is an incredible feel to the songs on this album. I mean, it. I know in some of the material I was given, you talk about the fact that you wanted to get that AM radio-friendly feel to it. But from my point of view, I think it just feels great generally. Can you talk a little bit about what you were looking for with this album?
Yeah, and I was looking for that. I was sort of trying to get that 60s feel, you know, when you just hear the songs and you'd feel so good. And I knew the album was coming out just before Christmas, so it'd be out for springtime. And I thought we all could just use that. And it's real fun to play it. And so we just sort of went with it. You know, we took the organs and the just the rhythm and just try to make it so because there's lots of records I love like that from days gone by, even not great artists, but they make great albums that just made you feel fantastic. And I want to make one.
Well, it certainly has that, because I find it, you know, and it, obviously it's not just to promote the album, but the reality is when you start off with that first track, which I think is What It Takes, right?
Right.
And it's very hard to stop listening, which is a good thing from your point of view.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really hard to make a record these days, hard to get an album paid attention to, because there's so many, first of all, and people think because there's budget recording that they can get away with it. But, you know, it costs a lot of money and it takes a lot of time to make records like these. And so I really put a lot of effort into it to make sure that when it gets there, it's the product. And sometimes I succeed.
So what comes first? I mean, do you have a bunch of songs? I mean, you have collection of songs that you have, and then you decide which ones will go on which record? Or how does that sort of plan work?
Yeah, basically I write songs all the time, so I have hundreds and hundreds of songs all over the place. I don't even know where they all are. And then as I get to thinking about an album, I start to go through them and go, man, I love this song. I forget I write them, you know. And I go, I love this song. And then I start putting them together. I go, I love this one too. And this one goes with that one. And then this one doesn't go with that one. And slowly I get there.
Can you talk about the people involved this time? Scott Merritt, he produced the album for you. Is that right?
Yeah, we produced together, but I would give him most of the credit. We've been making albums since we were, you know, in our early 20s together, off and on, mostly on. And so, you know, that's a great thing. I can bring it to him and say, hey, I got this idea. And he's so great at getting on board with me and saying, okay. And then eventually, sometimes he's like a little doubtful, and eventually he's going, oh, yeah, I got my head around this. And then he brings something else to the table. And then, of course, I have my band, and so we all sit in a room. And then, you know, like Maddie figures out the licks, and we do it together, sort of, and there's some back and forth, and then slowly it becomes this thing. And then if it's close to what I wanted, that's great, but if it's not, it takes on a life of its own. That's okay, too.
So the album seems to be doing quite well. Are you happy with the response you've had since it was released?
Yeah, well, you know, I have a small career, so it's great, you know, and I just came back from California and Texas, and they were all playing my record on all the stations, on all the AAAs and all the Americanas and the folk stations are all playing it, which I don't always get, you know. Sometimes I get one genre. I don't like genres, you know, so it's really great for me when they all just say, you know what, we're all playing this record, so it's good. It's great.
Well, it's interesting you say that, and because there's quite a few people now recording your songs. I think some of the biggest names in Nashville have picked
right.
up songs, Toby Keith, Alan Jackson, amongst others.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's been going on for the last 5 years, you know, and that's good for me. You know, I'm not such a fan of country music these days, but it's real nice that they're doing it. And you know, the great thing about those guys is they all found them on their own. In other words, they weren't pitched to them. They just walked in the studio and said, I heard this song, I want to put it on my record. And so that's really good. That stuff really counts for me. But, you know, even better is that hundreds of artists all over the world who aren't that big and aren't known are singing and covering my songs all the time. And sort of when I was a kid, that was a goal. And that's a real nice thing to see.
So tell us a little bit about this tour. I mean, the thing that struck me, and I've got to admit, living in a small town myself, I was rather excited about the fact that you've really made this commitment. And I think it's something you've always had, a commitment to get out there and go where the people are rather than necessarily just picking off the major centers each time.
Right. Well, I've never picked off the major centers, and partly it's because I hate the music business. And when I go play a Legion in a small town, there's nothing to do with the music business. It's us setting up chairs lots of nights, putting up our own sound, our own lights, putting on the show. We have to get our own ticket, and then we have to tear down at the end of the night. And, you know, it to me, that's really rock and roll, and that's really what rock and roll was. If you read the early Rolling Stones, that's what they used to do. And that's we're right back to, we're just so, I'm so cynical about the music business, and this has made me really happy just to go to some little town, and people meet us at this thing before the show. They meet us when we get there and go, we can't believe you're coming to our town, and it feels alive again. It feels like rock and roll when it started.
Well, I know, you know, we're based in Guelph, and one of the exciting things is when you look at the tour, you say, well, I think there's like three or four different shows within, you know, 10, 15 miles from where we are, which is nothing, you know, to travel and see a
right.
show like the ones you put on.
Right. Well, part of it is I want to be the Saturday night band, because I think we've lost the attitude of the Saturday night band. You know, the band used to be the Saturday night band in Port Dover, Ontario. Every Saturday night, the band would play. With Ronnie Hawkins. And I'm sort of back to that. And that is, I can go to Guelph and sell 400 seats, or I can go to little towns around it and sell 100 in 100 a year. And I'm the Saturday night band. And there's something that's really, it's special to me to do that.
So tell us a little bit about the show itself, because your shows, I mean, you really have got it's a show, right? I mean, there's music, there's obviously humor, there's even a pie auction. So this is your opportunity to pitch to people why they need to, if they haven't been to a Fred Eagle Smith show, why they need to get out to one.
Well, sort of, to me, I always say the show's like Johnny Carson meets the Rolling Stones, and that is, so the band's dressed up, we bring on a backdrop that's really beautiful with all these different colors, we put up the lights, we put up the sound system, and then we set up the tables, and people come, and they, as soon as they walk through the door in those Legions, they go, oh, I'm not going to be closing my eyes and 45 minutes. I'm not going to be falling asleep because it's a show. And so there's three acts. There's a short act that start really short. And then there's another act a little longer. Tiff Jin plays part of our band. And then she joins the band. We have this band playing, and it's rock and roll, and it's loud enough, you know, and it's polite enough, but it's not too polite. And it's the attitude that I think we're all hoping to get when we started listening to pop culture.
And there's also a pie auction. So tell me how the pie auction started.
Yeah. So we stopped the show in the middle of the show. We stopped the show, and quickly we auctioned two pies. And I started this because two things happened. I was playing at a fair in Orono, Ontario, and they were selling hundreds of pies. And I loved the pie auction. And then also I'd seen this thing when I was touring Europe about Operation Smile, which restores kids with cleft palates back, restores their faces in third world countries. And I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to auction pies every night, and I'm going to give all the money to this charity. And last year we raised $26,000 for them at pie auctions.
Wow. And you did, last year I think you also did, you raised, what, $17,000 for Alberta Flood Relief as well on tour?
Yeah, we did that in 1 week. We raised like $15,000 to $20,000 somewhere in there for the High River people.
So you'll be raising money on tour this time. What charity will be benefiting this time around?
Same one. It's Operation Smile. It's sort of our favorite charity because it's $250 to change a kid's life, and we do usually twice that a night. So every night I drive out of a show going, we changed two kids' lives tonight.
No, that's wonderful news. And then, you know, I have to say that I really appreciate your you're feeling for the business. I mean, you go out and make music. I mean, making music for for people all over the country and you know, I again getting away from the major centers thing, because there are some incredible musicians that often, you know, would come to different parts of Canada, but hard to get them to move beyond Toronto and Montreal and the big centers. So it's kudos for you.
I think I play Toronto once a year, you know, or once every year and a half, and part of it is that this is all business that's dictated that music should be in the major centers because it's more efficient that way. It's easier for a record company or a promotion company to get 1,500 people in a hall, make all the money then. They don't have to put on all these shows. I'm not worried about efficiency, and I'm not worried about the business. I'm really got my head around, you know, this show's going to start at 8 o'clock tonight, and by 10 o'clock, you're going to be on your way out at 10:30, and you're going to go, wow, I did this thing, and it reminds me of when I was a kid. And you know what? So many older people come to our show and tell us that. They go, I haven't experienced this in 20 years. You know, they're so excited, and it makes us very excited.
That's great. Well, Fred, it's great to hear you say those things. Now, I did just hear you moved to Waterford from Port Dover. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, we moved our store, our offices and our store.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about why you chose to move, because I know that one of the things about going to Port Dover, apart from Friday the 13th, was that Fred Eaglesmith was there.
Right, well, you know, our landlords were a theater, is the Lighthouse Theater in Port Dover, and we had a good relationship with them for 10 years, and then they put a mobile cell tower right on our roof and a transformer right beside our office without even notifying. So my family was in there. My ex-wife is my manager, and my kids work in there in the record store. And I just thought I can't take the risk that one of them would get a tumor or get cancer or something. And so because I believe, you know, I've done my research, and I don't think these things are good for you. So I talked to them, and they said, we're not budging. And I said, okay, we're leaving. And so we moved to Waterford, Ontario, which is a little town just about 20 minutes north of Port Dover.
Wow, so that's Waterford's gain and Port Dover's loss, and I certainly concur with you with respect to how close you want to be to a cell tower. That just certainly seems to be...
Again, it's all business, you know, and our theaters, our Canadian theaters are so... They take the majority of the government grants. I'm not a government grant person, but they take the majority of government grants, and, you know, this to me is like no difference than sports people advertising cigarettes, especially because they get so much of our money anyway. Yeah. Especially our theater shouldn't be doing this.
So we talked about Tambourine. You're heading out on this spring tour. Now, small town Ontario, and I think there will be some more dates added other than the ones that you can find on your website at fredeaglesmith.com.
That's right. Yeah, we're just adding dates all the time for these the Legion shows. It's called the Legions of Legions.
No.
And we're doing that tour. And so we're touring all through the summer. We're touring Ontario, like right until the fall before we leave on a big tour again.
That's great. So what does the future hold? I mean, you're very productive. I mean, we mentioned it's not just 20 albums. I mean, I'm sure my bias, but 20 stellar albums. But what are you planning for the future? Further interest in perhaps developing more around the musical aspect of what you do, perhaps, you know, more of a play and that sort of thing?
Well, there is a play out called Dear Johnny Dear, which is doing tremendously well. A guy wrote it, debuted at Blythe last year, and four or five theaters have already picked it up. And so that's been good, although it's just my songs and sort of my philosophy in it. But, you know, I'm a painter, and I painted, like, 75 paintings last year, and I'm painting a lot these days. I have a book of short stories / poetry written, which I'm trying to get out for the fall, maybe. I got a lot. I got so much, and I'm so busy, and we're touring so much that it's hard to think of anything new. It's just more trying to catch up, you know?
Well, you know, I got to say, talking to you today inspires me, so... you know, that which is, again, it's the Fred Eaglesmith experience. It's one of the reasons people will follow you around the country going to your shows. I wanted to thank you for spending the time to talk to us today. It's been an absolute pleasure. If people want to get information on the tour, head to fredeaglesmith.com. Fred, we've got one more thing to do, and that's to introduce the next song, which will be from Tambourine. What are we going to play?
Let's play Tell the Engineer.
That's wonderful. Fred Eaglesmith, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. This is Fred Eaglesmith and Tell the Engineer from the wonderful album Tambourine. Thanks again.
Thanks, Jen. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Somebody ought to tell that engineer he don't have to blow his whistle not so early in the morning. Tell him to take his train, move it down the line. My heart's full of sorrow. My baby left here late last night. Too many tears, I paid too many dues.